times, takes your child away from their friends. As you said, their grades suffer, and those are signs of abuse, and definitely could play into the whole trafficking scenario.
Oh, for sure. Most of the traffickers are control, you know, dominant. They take control of the situation because the people that they're targeting, they want that, but they don't want the end result. They're looking for that sense of security, and these people, they give that to them for a brief moment, and then they're trapped.
So most often, they get the individual hooked on drugs, correct?
I would say, you can never say 100%, but I would say 90% of the time, that's what ends up happening with these girls or boys. And most of the time, it's not adults. I mean, it's definitely teenage girls and teenage boys, and sometimes, you know, little kids too, because there are, you know, unfortunately, areas that want little children.
Back several years ago, there was a trafficking ring in Hammond. The individual who was trafficking is now serving a life sentence. And I did pull up the article on the internet, and it talked about how he raped and beat the women with electrical cords. He had them on dog chains and, you know, beat them with brooms. Is this typical behavior of a trafficker once they, because it's a control mechanism.
They keep them there by fear and drugs. And the ones that beat their captors, they're led by fear. They don't want to leave because they're afraid of what's going to happen to them. If they're getting beat just for breathing, can you imagine what happens to them if they try to leave? And that's what they're afraid of. And, of course, unfortunately, some of these women would just rather die than go through the beatings that they get. But they don't do that. They don't end their suffering. They just continue to put them through it. And it's a very sad process.
Yeah. Getting back to this incident that did happen in Hammond some years back, it astounds me that some of the neighbors ignored some of the signs of what was going on. They, after all of this came out in the open, some of the neighbors said, oh yeah, I heard screams from that house, and they never did anything. What are some signs that residents can look for something of this nature going on in their neighborhood?
Well, when if you've been established in your neighborhood for a while, you know, you always pay attention to who's moving in and what kind of people you have around you as far as your neighbors. If you see, you know, if you know the guy's a single male and he's constantly having young kids or young ladies over that might not be of age, then, you know, call the police. If you hear screams, I mean, nowadays people don't want to get involved, but unfortunately, you have to save these people.
Absolutely. We always talk at the Crime Watch meetings about being a nosy neighbor, not a meddling neighbor, but a nosy neighbor. Be aware of what's going on in your neighborhood. We do have a caller. Dave, good morning.
Hi, Jen. It's Dave Germer from Haven House. How are
Hi.
You?
Good. And you?
Good, good. I just wanted to bring up one more thing that these individuals that abuse these young men and young women and men in their entire grooming process. Some of these individuals are extremely patient in a very, very disturbing way in their grooming process. And maybe you could kind of shed some light on that. This is not something that necessarily happens one specific night, but unfortunately horrific incidences like that happen. But sometimes months and maybe years, the grooming process, you know, happens. So maybe you could kind of touch on that a little bit. And hey, thanks for your show, and this needs to be brought to the forefront. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I've attended a couple human trafficking programs, and they talk about how the trafficker will approach a girl, for instance, at the mall, and see that she's admiring a pair of shoes or a dress, and he'll say, "You're so pretty. You would really look nice in that dress." And that's how they begin the process, and then it's, you know, one thing after another from there.
Right. Like David said, the grooming process, it's very much like when, you know, you have your serial rapists or serial killers, how they groom their, you know, individuals that they target. They will, you know, buy them shoes or take them places that they've never been. And these people end up thinking, you know, the girls and boys that are trafficked, they think that this is the greatest guy in the world.
Sure, because he's giving them things they never had before.
And it's not always a man doing it either. I mean, women are involved as well. Women end up being mother figures to some of these girls and boys, and then they let the harsh punishment be done by a man. But some of the women are not, you know, as nice as they seem as well.
Sure, sure. We do have another caller. MX, good morning.
Good morning, Janet. How you doing?
Good, and you?
Pretty good. You know, sometimes, don't take this seriously. I should have been the old woman that opens up the curtain. But there's a thing, if when you go to help a citizen or somebody, you've got to watch out for the element called ambushed. I had a friend that a guy asked him for a cigarette, and as soon as he got his hands in his pocket, being a good Samaritan, he beat the heck out of him, and it almost killed him. So when you think about that, the best thing to do, if you see a disturbance in your neighborhood, don't jump in. Just like Officer Scott Holbrook says, and he pops it in your head, call the police. Try to get all the information when you're calling the police. I know it's really hard when you hear the screaming. Get the license plates that show up if somebody's getting hurt on your block. It's really hard to step in when the element of ambush is there.
Exactly. And we have to keep in mind that the police are trained to deal with situations of this nature or of any other crime. And we have to rely on their expertise. We don't know how to combat some of these situations. So absolutely, call the police. Thank you.
You know what Officer Scott said in his last meeting Thursday? It gave me a warm feeling. Now, maybe he's 35 and I'm pretty well up there. He says, I'm your personal police officer. Call me if you need me. You know what? That's a warm feeling. And then if Officer Scott can't handle it, he directs it to the right people.
Absolutely.
Like
somebody
Chief Brian
in narcotics.
Miller.
Sure. Exactly. Thank you, MX. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Well, Derek, one of the concerns that I had after seeing some of these presentations on human trafficking is the victims. What happens to the victims after a ring has been broken up, or they've been discovered, or if they escape? How do they get help?
There are organizations out there that will help them. I know Dr. Kapal is trying to set up a seminar for, not necessarily a learning seminar, but a connecting seminar with everybody involved in their own areas is doing their parts. And now we need to start connecting these, I guess, cells across the United States for these individuals who are saved. Her organization is called SAFE. I believe she has a website out there. I don't have the flyer with me, but she will be at the seminar on March 3rd.
Oh, okay.
And we will be handing out her pamphlets as well, because her conference is going to be in October, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she's really big into the trafficking,
uh-huh.
and it needs to stop. Like I said, it's to the point where, you know, the war on drugs is always going to be there, and the war on trafficking is always going to be
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we have to do our part and stop and make our neighborhoods safer
mm-hmm.
for our children.
Well, you brought with you a guest this morning.
Yes, I did.
His name is Buddy, and I'll let Derek tell you about Buddy and his function in the Lake County Sheriff's Department.
Well, Buddy is sleeping right now. Buddy is going to be a therapy dog or a comfort dog for abused and battered children. We're going to send him off Friday for training,
mm-hmm.
and he'll be gone for 6 to 9 weeks. And once he comes back, he'll be able to go through the process with these children. You know, it's hard for a young child to tell a story to a stranger about what happened to him, whether physically or sexually. So we'll bring Buddy in and introduce him to the child, let the child get a good relationship with him, and then hopefully Buddy can go in the interview process with the child, and the child will play with Buddy and subconsciously not think about their traumatic situation
mm-hmm.
and talk to the detectives that interview. Buddy is a part of the Special Victims Unit, the Sheriff's Department, and the Prosecutor's Office. The Prosecutor's Office is involved in the aspect of once they leave our office and they're interviewed and our detectives file charges, they go to the Prosecutor's Office and they have to do depositions or even go to trial. Buddy can go through the whole process with that child.
Mm-hmm.
He will be there to absorb their fear, their anxiety. Porter County is using a dog, and they really like their program. So it's time for us to also have another tool for these children that have been abused or battered or possibly even trafficked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you were telling me before we went on the air that Buddy is 8 months old.
He is.
He is a black lab mix.
Correct.
And as you said, he's going to be trained, sent away for training this weekend. I found it interesting that you said that before he has an encounter with some of the children, that he puts on a jacket, which tells him that it's time to work.
Correct. It's just a safety precaution for him to know when it's not playtime, it's work time.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when a police dog leaves the house, they mm-hmm. know it's time to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to put Buddy in the realm of canine police dogs, but he will be in the sheriff's department working.
Mm-hmm.
He will know when it's time to play, take off his vest, and he can be a puppy or a young dog.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's time to put on the vest, he will listen to what he's told
mm-hmm.
and help that child.
Mm-hmm.
So
the children that Buddy will encounter kind of let their guard down a little bit when they start playing with Buddy?
Right. It, you know, I don't want to say it leaves them vulnerable, but it takes the focus why they're there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, it's hard for a child to talk to a stranger about mm-hmm. their situation, let alone, you know, their own parents or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So once he goes in there with them, and before they even go into the interview room, Buddy will go in there with them, only if they want him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be used in every interview because the children that we interview are as young as 4 years old to 17 years
old.
Oh,
my.
I mean, it's a very broad spectrum of age.
Mm-hmm.
So a young teenager may not need him.
Mm-hmm.
Or even a 7 or 8 year old may not want him.
Mm-hmm.
Just depends on the situation. But he will not have to be used in every interview.
Mm-hmm.
Only when the detective feels that maybe he'll be a good tool for that interview.
Mm-hmm.
And we are very excited about the program.
So Buddy is the first comfort dog in Lake County?
Actually, no. He's the second.
Okay.
Judge Stefaniak has Moxie. Moxie is over at the juvenile center for the juveniles over
okay.
there.
Okay.
Moxie's young. I believe she's 4 months old. But she's a mastiff, so she's humongous.
I can imagine.
Yeah. But yeah, Judge Stefaniak just had gotten Moxie before the first of the year. And when we went and spoke to Mark Price, the person that helped training Moxie, he told us it's a great program. And he gave us some contacts as far as like Alsa Poma Nursery. They donated all of Buddy's grooming and food and snacks. So anytime he needs something, we go there, and they just have a sign for it. And
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you rescued him from Alsup, or
no? He was a rescue from the Lake County Sheriff's Animal Shelter.
Okay.
When he was brought in, an intern came in our office and said he had just been over there, and he liked this black lab, and he was real sweet. So I went over there and. That was it.
You fell in love.
Yeah.
Right, right. I also found it interesting that you said that Buddy will go to court with some of the victims.
Yes.
And he'll, what, sit at their feet? So
yeah, he would sit underneath the podium so that the jury cannot see him.
Mm-hmm.
He'll sit still, be quiet. And if the child feels like it needs to hold on to him, the child can. But Buddy would be taken in there before the jury would come out, and then he can be taken out after the testimony of the child.
Mm-hmm.
That way the jury is not, you know, wondering why a dog is in there with the child.
Right, right. So some of the victims of human trafficking, we always imagine girls.
Right.
Most often they're probably of teenage years. Is that correct? Not necessarily.
Because like I said, trafficking is it's a very wide spectrum. I mean, you could kidnap a child, a baby, and traffic that child to another country and sell it. I mean, the human trafficking aspect is the prostitution and drug part is more so what we're used to, but there is trafficking of, you know, babies and children to other countries for whether labor or, you know,
prostitution.
And
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was distracted there for a second. I think it's really important that our listeners know that that they need to educate their young people, especially the girls, about the trafficking that is out there. Because, you know, so often... I know it was a long time ago when I was a teenager, but you want to try to fit in. You want to be popular. And by somebody telling you that you can do fun and exciting things, it really could open them up for some real danger.
Absolutely.
And it's important for our parents to keep an eye on what is going on with our children.
Yes.
'Cause, I mean, I know I took rides with boys, you know, that I didn't know when I was in high school. And a lot of kids do that because they want to meet new people.
Right. And that's fine. Meeting new people is great. But nowadays, it's different than when we grew up. People are out there doing horrendous things. Trafficking's probably been around a long time, but it's just becoming worse. And with conjunction, the FBI and Homeland Security, we are trying to stop it. Chief Brian Miller has been instrumental in this area with helping us fight this trafficking problem. He's attended several meetings with myself and the FBI. He's done prostitution stings with the Lake County Sheriff's Department. He's really doing what he can for his community.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with John Buncich. He is, the sheriff is really concerned about the demographics of where these children are being trafficked. And it's not just in your city areas. You know, it could be down in Lowell and Schneider.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere that kids are not, they want to be, fit in, or mm-hmm. they want just love. These people know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
They just do. And every time a child goes missing, that's, unfortunately, another battle that we have to fight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At one of the programs that I went to, they talked about truck stops.
Yes.
And that's a real problem, that some of these traffickers drop the girls off at the truck stops and they go from truck to truck to truck.
Right. And that's more so your prostitution.
Okay.
Once a girl approaches a truck driver and says, hey, I need a ride to, let's say, from Gary to mm-hmm. Indianapolis. Well, I don't have any money. Well,
mm-hmm.
then
sure.
they make their deal. But as soon as that truck driver leaves, he's mm-hmm. trafficking.
Right.
And
crossing state lines, that becomes federal.
Yeah. I mean, once they take a person for sexual or immoral act from mm-hmm. one place to another,
mm-hmm.
that's trafficking
mm-hmm.
for as far as the prostitution aspect. Because they're not doing it against their will necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
They're being forced by their handler to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But once they get in that vehicle, they're willingly doing it. So once they leave for a sexual or immoral act, that's your trafficking aspect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's very frightening, and our young people need to be aware of some of the dangers that are out there and some of the signs to look for. I really wish we would be able to get this program into some of our schools. They need to know. They need to know about this.
I agree. The only way to really educate the children is to get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, it's a scary topic for a school to bring that in.
Sure.
I mean, it's one of those things that you know it's there, but do you want to put it out
mm-hmm.
there?
Mm-hmm.
And especially if a child is being used for sexual favors.
Sure.
It mm-hmm. falls under our spectrum at our office. Whether it's at home or by a friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's...
Well, Derek, I thank you so much for all of the information this morning. Again, the program is Monday, March 3rd, 6 p.m. at the Lake County Auditorium in Crown Point. Thank you to Sheriff Buncich and the FBI for putting this program together. The next meeting of Edison Community Watch is Wednesday, March 5th at Edison School, 6:30 p.m. Our guest will be P.J. Jones from the Hammond Boys and Girls Club. If you'd like a list of Crime Watch meetings in the city of Hammond, you can visit edisoncommunitywatch.com or hammondcrimewatch.com. If you can't make a Crime Watch or Community Watch meeting in your neighborhood and you have a complaint or concern, you can let me know. You can visit edisoncommunitywatch.com, email me through the website, and I'd be more than happy to help. We ask the region to think about us and not me. Attend a Crime Watch or community meeting in your neighborhood. It's only through our combined efforts that we can affect change. We will talk to you next month. Thank you again, Derek.
Thank you.